The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Sean Spicer is out. The White House has signaled acceptance of the Russian sanctions. Charlie Gard, the staff at the hospital say they have now received death threats. We're still waiting to hear the fate of Charlie Gard. Also, anybody see Dunkirk this weekend? Absolutely, I believe, a masterpiece written in a way that I have never seen any movie written before. Really incredible. We'll talk about that and so much more. We begin right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let me just start with the weekend news. Dunkirk was performing really, really well. I had a hard time finding a movie theater that actually had any seats available this weekend.
50 million, 50.5.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow, I thought it would have been a lot more than that.
It's still a pretty good opening for it.
It was pretty long, wasn't it?
Yeah,
well, 2.5 hours, I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
I saw it to the movie theater that you suggested, Stu.
Oh, yeah.
And remember I was mocking you on Friday?
Yes.
I said, sound, it's fine. How good can the sound be? Holy cow.
Really?
Yeah. I went to a 70-millimeter Dolby theater.
The Dolby Atmos sound?
It was unbelievable.
It's incredible.
All the subwoofers are underneath the stadium seating. So when a plane was going from left of screen to the right of the screen, you felt the rumble underneath you as if the ground.
Cool.
It was unbelievable.
I saw it in XD, and it wasn't. It's not quite that good an experience.
You need to go. I told Tanya because she didn't go. I took the boys, and she didn't go. And I said, you have to see it. And we're driving 30 minutes to this theater to see it. Seeing it on XD Dolby Atmos was remarkable. Remarkable. Let me just say this. I thought for a movie where it was about the near death of the English army and French that had such high casualties, it was the least gory film I think I have seen. Mm-hmm. Of any war. It was almost, in some ways, it didn't feel like this at all, but almost like an old 1970s TV war. You didn't really see blood splattering. You didn't see.
I was good with that, too.
I am, too.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't. You didn't need it.
Didn't need it at all. It had, personally, I didn't think there was a star to the movie. There was no Private Ryan. There was no Tom Hanks. It was cut up into three different angles, and it's really important when you go to see this. I thought it was very ineffective. The only thing that I could criticize this movie on is Christopher Nolan, if he changed one word or one way, one frame, he would be able to fix this problem. What he did is at the beginning, it's showing one of the guys who is basically on the beach. I'm not going to give anything away. This is important for you to.
It is. This will help the experience.
Yes, it'll help. This is the very beginning. Shows the guy, on the beach, and it will say underneath, it will say the mole 1 week. Now, I didn't know what the mole was.
The mole is the area of the beach where they evacuated.
Correct.
They called it, it's the Dunkirk mole.
Okay, so they say that in the movie, in the first opening
but
minutes.
But you miss it.
But I you did. Miss it. It's just in conversation. Mm-hmm. And if you miss what the mole is, you will be confused. Because the mole, it'll say the mole 1 week.
So it takes 1 week, all the things that happen there.
So everything that happens on the beach is a 1 week time period. Then a few minutes later, it will show something that's happening in the water, and it says the water.
The sea.
The sea, one day. And then a few, you know, minutes later, it says the air 1 hour. If you don't, like me, I didn't know what the mole was. And so when I saw the mole 1 week, I was trying to figure out what the mole was more than 1 week. So I'm like, what the hell is the mole? It must be that guy is the mole, or is this a plot? Is this a plan? What is it? So I missed the 1 week. Then the next time it said the water 1 day, I was trying to figure out the relationship between that guy and the water. I didn't understand.
Right.
And so I missed that it is shot and edited in three different ways. It is, and it coincides, the whole thing moves at the same time, but there are three different time periods they're looking at. 1 week, everything on the beach. 1 hour, I'm sorry, 1 day, everything in the water. And 1 hour in the air.
Yeah.
When you understand that, my daughter Hannah was the only one that caught this, in at least in our family. And she, we got out and we were talking about it, and she said, "Oh my gosh, Dad, didn't you recognize that you saw X, Y, and Z earlier in the film?" And I was like,
"Duh,
yes, I did, but I didn't understand. I didn't understand why it was there and what the relationship was. I couldn't." If you miss that one thing, you'll miss a lot of this movie. With that being said, this movie is, I think, a war masterpiece. I have never seen a movie where the closest you can get to this is Hitchcock, where the score, the Hans Zimmer score, Hans Zimmer was he was a co-writer of this film, because the language, the talking, dialogue.
There's not a ton of dialogue in it.
Very little. And it's not that important, because it doesn't carry the story. There is no real story except, are they going to get off the beach?
Mm-hmm.
So the dialogue is not that important. The music starts with a ticking at the very beginning, and it never stops. And Hans Zimmer is a co-writer of this movie. He's not just the guy who did the music. I believe he's a co-writer of this movie. It's brilliant the way it's done. Brilliant.
I was surprised how many people never heard of Dunkirk.
Oh, my gosh.
That blows me away.
Yeah.
I mean, what has happened to our education system?
Yeah.
My oldest said he'd never heard of it. Like, how did that happen? How did you graduate? How did we let that slip through the cracks? You don't know Dunkirk?
No.
It's amazing.
How many people won't know some important dialogue, and again, I'm not wrecking anything, some important dialogue in the movie is the speech of Winston Churchill, because they don't get, you know, we will storm the beaches, we will, it becomes narration at one point, and you don't really, I mean, I'll bet you most people won't put together, oh, that's Winston Churchill's speech, even though it's said once. But it's, you know,
scale of those few days is unbelievable. When you think that the British had 68,000 casualties and the French 290,000, that would shut the United States of America down. We would be out of the war. Okay, we're done. I mean, we don't have the stomach for that.
No.
At all.
Especially when you look at per capita. Think about that. Gosh. Per capita.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I mean, and it was
per capita in 1940.
Yeah. And it was, you know, there was really some amazing things of real heroism. And then, you know, I happened to go with a guy who is Scottish. And I said to him, so he's in the Royal Greeny Wigs or whatever they call them over there. He's actually an amazing guy. But he said, I said, how did you make that? How did that feel? Does that feel like I guess American history would feel to me? Is that real extra poignant to you? And he said, it's funny because I was wondering how Americans would view this. And heroism is heroism. And it doesn't matter where it's from. And it was remarkable. There are times when, again, a movie with really no storyline and no lead characters. And when you, at one point in the movie, and I won't say anything about it, but at one point in the movie, nothing is said and you will start crying. You will just be so overwhelmed with heroism. It's a remarkable movie.
It's one of those times too where you really can't complain about spoiler alerts because it just admits that you don't know anything about history.
Yeah.
What war? What are you, now you've ruined it.
Dunkirk, who knew they were on the beach?
Oh, come on. It's a minor problem.
Boy, I'm amazed too. With them on the beach that long, Pat, it really comes through on either divine providence or how stupid and insane
Hitler was. Yeah.
I mean, he stopped.
He did.
He had him on the beach.
He told him to stop.
And he stops and turns around. He could have wiped out all of the French and all of the English, and he could have conquered England. We would have been totally alone in the war.
One of the miracles, the fact that we survived that at all is because he was so convinced he was brilliant.
Yes.
Like the fact that he
his
got
arrogance.
Every single vibe of his, every single movement of his quote unquote gut he acted on for so long wound up being one of the only ways that we escaped much, much worse than what happened.
I mean, when you see this and you really put into perspective what you know about history, that was it. I mean, that was the fleet. I mean, the reason why they didn't come over and save them was because they didn't want to get rid of the boats that they had. They knew if they go, they send their navy over to Dunkirk and he sinks them, they're done. I mean, this event that caused Churchill to finally call and say, I want you to know, if you don't get involved now, any boat that is left, you will see on your shore soon, and it will have a swastika on it, not the flag of Great Britain. And that's the only reason why we got involved. I mean, it was dire.
Well, even then, it took the Japanese invasion of Pearl Harbor. Yeah.
But we started Lend-Lease.
Yeah.
You know, we sunk the British Navy. Most people don't know this. When we won World War II, we were so arrogant on the League of Nations, which didn't happen, that Woodrow Wilson...
Not for us, anyway.
Yeah, for Woodrow Wilson, he said to the British, you need to scale back your Navy. Now, here's a country that has at that time, the sun never sets on. So if you don't have a Navy, how are you going to defend your colonies? So he says to Wilson and Churchill, who happens to be, I think, the head of the Navy, Secretary of Navy. I don't know what they call him over there. But he's like the Secretary of Navy. And he says, you got to sink half your fleet. They do it because they owe us so much money. They sink half their fleet. Then we humiliate the Germans. Don't even give them a chair at the table of the negotiations for peace. You needed a chair? Should have thought of that before you started a war. So we humiliate them. And then in the 1930s, when Germany is breaking all of their treaties and they're building ships, they're building subs, they're building planes, the Luftwaffe is just growing beyond comprehension. The fastest growing industrial might in the world is happening in Germany. And Churchill says, we don't have a Navy, guys. Remember? The reason why they had to come to us and say, we need ships, you need to sell us ships, is because we sunk their Navy. We told them, we'll keep the peace. We're going to sink the Navy and the League of Nations will do it. And we were so arrogant that people in Congress said, don't build ships. No, the way to keep peace is not to have any warships. Finally, after Dunkirk, it was FDR who said, okay, we're going to lend them and lease them to you, but we can't sell anything to you. And that was the beginning of us getting involved and actually saving the world. And now this, summer vacation. summer vacation is exciting for you, but it's also exciting for burglars. Knowing that you leave your house empty. I remember we grew up in Mount Vernon, Washington, at 202 Warren. This great house that my mother grew up in across the street from. And she used to look at her out of her window, and she would look at that house and say, someday, I want to own that house. I want to live there. And that's the house that I grew up in. And we never locked our doors, except when we would go on vacation. Because there's nobody around. Nothing going to happen. Somebody can come in and rob everything. You're gone for a week. They love it. Simply Safe has the biggest ever summer sale. It has everything you need to protect your home, an arsenal of security sensors to secure each door and window. And your Simply Safe system comes with a panic button, a blaring extra siren, and wireless connection to authorities and to police dispatch. With Simply Safe, no long-term contracts, no installation cost, and no hidden fees. And the 24/7 monitoring, $14.99 a month. This summer, see what Simply Safe can do for your home. Get $100 off the summer security package, which I think is like $399, at simplysafebeck.com. Hurry, sale ends July 31st. That's simplysafebeck.com. Get $100 off at simplysafebeck.com.
We have won the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
So glad that you have tuned in. There's a horrible tragedy that happened in San Antonio this weekend. A semi tractor trailer was found, and it was full of illegals. And how many were dead? There
nine.
We think that there were probably 100 in there because some ran out as soon as they opened the doors. Mm-hmm. 17 are in the hospital. 9 are dead. And I have to tell you, the truck driver should get the death penalty. I really believe we need to send a very strong message to people who are acting as coyotes. You get the death penalty, man. If you are caught and you are transporting people like cattle and anyone dies, death penalty.
Yeah.
This is horrible. This happens. You don't understand. Can you imagine how hot that truck was?
Yeah.
100 degree temperatures.
Dozens and dozens of people in it.
Yeah.
And over 100?
Well, that's what we're just, I mean, they showed, the footage was showing cars coming earlier and picking up some humans and driving away.
Yeah.
So and then we had the 9 now dead and the 17 or so in the hospital, and I think they had others that they picked up that were not in the hospital. So, I mean, we're just guessing, right? There was 40 mm-hmm. or 50 that we have right now, probably more. For sure more, but we just don't know how many.
And but to me, it's not even...
No water provided.
Yeah, nothing.
No air conditioning.
Because, I mean, that's how they found out,
yeah.
Right? The guy came into the Walmart
looking for
asking
water.
For water, and mm-hmm. the employee saw that he was close to, you know,
and he called the police.
Dead, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, horrible. The truck driver is
supposed
going
to go in front of the judge today. Yes.
Here in Texas, right?
Yes.
Hope he's got a hanging judge. Hope he's got a good old Texan that will teach him a thing or two about the taking life lightly.
Remember, though, the caring side of this argument is to let this continue, is not to fight and secure the border. The caring part of this argument is to allow this to continue as a process that's been going on for how many years?
Either that or to just open the border wide because they're calling this death by policy. I mean,
that's ridiculous.
So here's the thing.
Such insanity.
So here's the thing. We have to decide. That's the real problem here, is that we are playing the middle ground. We either decide this is wrong.
Either we have a border and enforce it, or we don't.
Or we don't.
Which is
But
it?
You can, you have to decide. This sanctuary city thing is a lure and brings lots of money into people who will do this kind of thing with an empty semi. So which is it going to be? Are we going to incentivize those people, which will lead to more death and destruction? Or are we going to say, we have a border, take it seriously? Personally, for the driver of this truck who knew and allowed these people to die, Texas death penalty should be coming his way.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
America, welcome to the program. There's a couple of things going on. First of all, Charlie Gard's parents have said that time has now run out for their child.
So sad.
And they have withdrawn their request to continue to fight on for the child. It must be that I'm guessing it must be that the doctors came back and said nothing
worth it.
You know, not, I don't think not worth it. Probably it's too late.
Yeah, not going to help
because of the way it was phrased that the time has run out. I can't imagine giving up, but if the doctors are saying there is no treatment and nothing that can be done, removing a ventilator, that is a medical procedure. That is not food and water. That is allowing a child to die a natural death. A ventilator is medical treatment, where food and water is not.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think you're right. It's probably related to a downturn in the in their optimism as far as this goes. Because I mean, they went through 11 months of this, and the hearings were supposed to be today and tomorrow. Like, why would you go through 11 months and then be like, all right, well, not two more days?
Well, probably because the hearings, the doctors probably came back and said, there's nothing we can
do. Right. Like, they may have lost the support of the doctors who believed there was hope.
Correct.
And at that point, maybe you don't go forward.
What do you do? The only reason why you would do it is because you would want your son you would want somebody else not to have to go through what you just went through.
Yeah.
You know, if you could break the back and say, I don't care what the doctors say. We have a right to take our son anywhere. We have a right to do that. You know, it might be worth the extra 2 days to try to win that battle. But honestly, you know, these parents have been through hell. And just thinking of their child, if there is no hope, and they're not going to starve the baby to death. They're not going to do that, right? They're just removing the ventilator.
Yeah, the reporting is that they're going to remove the ventilator and it will allow him to, quote, slip away.
Yeah.
That's just terrible. I mean,
so sad.
It's hard to put yourself in the position of these parents. And you know, they have done quite a bit to alert people about battles like this that do happen all around the world. But, you know, this is obviously not the ending that you would hope for. They said that instead that it's going to be a short hearing today, and I guess it can happen anytime. So,
okay.
Really sad.
So, Jared Kushner, here's some new news, confirmed 4 contacts with Russians during his father-in-law's presidential campaign and the tradition. But he has now described the meetings as unmemorable and denied colluding with the Russian government to help Donald Trump win. In the most consequential meeting, Kushner said he had agreed to meet with a Russian banker at the request of the Russian ambassador. He said that nothing of substance came from the meeting and he had no reason to connect with him since. So why wouldn't you disclose this?
Is this newly disclosed? Because he had disclosed previous meetings with unlike some other people in the administration, he is like an international businessman type.
No, so I know that, we've asked this over and over and over again. Just get it all out. Now, every time we have to know what the meetings were. If you would have just gotten them all out and not, here's the problem. You look so guilty. I'm not saying you are. You look so guilty by saying, we never met with anyone. Okay, the Russian ambassador did ask that I would meet with this banker over there. Well, you were at the same time saying that you had no business dealings over there. So, I mean, was it business? Was it a possible collusion? Was it about getting deals done for the Russians? So the sanctions, we don't know. And nobody has any credit. The press doesn't have any credibility. Kushner doesn't have any credibility. So we don't know.
Yeah, I read somewhere this morning that this Kushner's statement is a perfectly plausible series of events. It just should have been released a long time
ago.
Yes. Which, I know, I mean, is a legitimate issue that that everybody in the White House seems to have. I mean, obviously, the Don Jr. thing is the one that pops to mind more than anything. I heard a congressman on I think it was CNN earlier talking about how, like, you know, this collusion, this idea of collusion, it's just absurd and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, look, we have no evidence that any collusion actually happened. But we do absolutely have evidence from Donald Jr. releasing his own email that he wanted it to happen.
Yes.
Now, he may have failed at it. It may have turned into nothing. Those are all understandable things that should be parsed and are important in the investigation.
But as Cahem said, being incompetent and collusion is no excuse.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You're trying to collude and you're just bad at it. That doesn't help.
Going to buy heroin or trying to Charles Krauthammer, for those of you not in the know, going to a hooker and exchanging money with a hooker who ends up being a cop. Well, I didn't do anything. You weren't a hooker. Well, but that's what you were coming for. That's what you were. Yeah, but I didn't complete the transaction because I didn't get my part of it. Well, wait.
Well, this is the argument of everybody who's been on To Catch a Predator.
Yes.
Right? Like, well, you didn't actually have sex with a 13-year-old.
Right.
Well, but we have 500 emails of you talking about how you wanted to have sex and you went to the house to meet. I mean,
it's not good.
Again, it's not. It doesn't prove that anything happened by any means. But, you know, to call the idea that they would be interested in this absurd when the source is Donald Trump Jr.'s own emails that he released is kind of a stretch here.
Yeah.
There's obviously something here. The question is, what level does it rise to? And I think, you know, it very well may be nothing. It does not help their case that it's nothing when these things keep dripping out over a long period of time. Just get it all out there.
Just get it all out.
It would be helpful to them at this point.
And
it would be helpful to the president's agenda. It would be helpful to, to every principle that they're trying to advance.
Yes.
Getting these things out of the way would be helpful.
Having the president come out and say, look, I'm not going to stand in the way of an investigation. It's got to be a fair investigation, but I'm not going to stand in the way of investigation. And, you know, did my son make mistakes? Yeah. But stop defending things that just don't look good. You can say, look, you know, the biggest mistake? He forgot about it. His biggest mistake is he didn't bring it to me. His biggest mistake, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there wasn't any collusion. Yada, yada, yada. But what you can't do is say, I'm going to pardon my children while saying no crime was committed. Why would you be looking to pardoning people if there was no crime? Now, I understand that the Trump camp is saying he's just looking into it so he knows his options. But you can't say, you know, that you can pardon somebody if there was no crime. Second of all, the idea that the left is clean on this is absurd. Hillary Clinton, we now know, was doing exactly the same thing, trying to meet with the Russians to get information on Donald Trump, they were luring both of them in.
And we didn't like it then, and we don't like it now.
Right. You can't shout, what was it, jailer?
Lock her up.
You can't chant lock her up, or in this case now, saying, look at what she did. She was trying to collude. That was against the law. She's a lawbreaker. And hers didn't work out either.
The reason you don't vote for Hillary Clinton is because you want better than Hillary Clinton.
Correct.
So therefore, you should expect more than Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't know the answer to these things yet. We don't know how this thing ends up.
And it doesn't affect any of our lives today. What does affect our life is Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. They actually can affect your life. You need relief. You need tax relief. You need health care relief. You need insurance reform. Okay, how do we reform insurance? We get the government out of the way and we let the free market work. How do we get tax cuts? You get Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell out of the way. You call every congressman and every senator you can and demand that those guys are removed or real tax cuts for all Americans. All Americans happen. A reduction of spending and real tax cuts.
It's really important now, too, because Schumer and the Democrats are stepping up and trying to fill this void. Did you hear the things he was saying yesterday on, I don't know, one of those Sunday shows?
No.
Listen to this.
Number one, we're going to go after the drug companies. We will create a special office.
They're going to create a special office.
So will it have a special door?
He didn't say.
We don't know. If we could get the special door with the special office,
well, then
we've got quite something to talk about.
That will just go after these drug companies when they raise prices so egregiously and people can't afford these drugs. We're going to change the way companies can merge. We have these huge companies buying up other big companies. It hurts workers and it hurts prices. The old Adam Smith idea of competition, it's gone. So people hate it.
Please don't talk to me about Adam Smith or competition. I don't think I can take the Democrats talking about Adam Smith.
Because they just cherish Adam Smith's writings so much.
I'm
pretty sure Adam Smith was open to the idea of companies being able to do what they want, including going into business with other companies, which would be mergers.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure. They know that gas prices are sticky, you know, when the domestic price goes, when the price for oil goes up on the markets, it goes right up, but it never goes down. How the hell?
Okay, it never goes down. It's under $2 a gallon now in most places in the country. This morning I stopped at the gas tank. I think it was $1.87.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I paid like $1.92 this weekend, but it's under two.
Pretty amazing.
Did we let Exxon and Mobil merge? And
that was Democrats. Inflation.
So we're going to go after that, and that will help the average person lower their costs. And finally, we're going to have tomorrow a very novel idea of how to create 10 million jobs. There are 10 million Americans looking for good-paying jobs.
Government doesn't
we're going to show
jobs.
Them how to find them. And that's just the beginning.
No, he's going to show them
week after week, month after month, we're going to roll out specific pieces here that are quite different than the Democratic Party. You heard in the past. We were too cautious. We were too namby-pamby.
Were
this is
you?
Sharp, bold, and will appeal
Communist.
To both the old Obama coalition, let's say the young lady who's just getting out of college,
and
the Democratic voters who deserted us for Trump.
So, in other words, this is going to appeal to not just the communists, but the socialists as well. We're very excited about this bold new plan.
Pretty broad there.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, you're
the ones who said,
Bernie Sanders, no, I can't do Hillary, so I'll do Trump. They're going to welcome them back.
Yeah. Right.
And they're going to get the communist as well. That's beautiful.
It's great.
And he kind of went into, too, in that interview about how like it really was, they think, their fault.
Yeah.
Right. Like they at least are taking responsibility of like, how do we lose to someone with a 40% approval rating? Well, it's because we sucked.
It's going to work.
Yeah.
That strategy.
That's what I'm afraid.
That strategy will work.
They're calling it bold. They're calling it, you know.
Yep. And what do the Republicans have? They're in charge. They've got nothing.
Nothing.
You come up with a bold tax plan. You will have all pieces of the right and those people in the middle and the libertarians come to the table as well. The independents will come to the table with a bold tax plan that frees companies and frees people up and gives the average person more money back to them, gives them their money, not somebody else's money, their money back. Yeah, you will have a bold plan. And you can win.
You want the Russia thing off the paper.
Annoy them.
Annoy them with how bold your tax plan is.
Yep.
Go crazy.
Now this. If you're looking to buy or refi, the last thing you need is to become just another number at another mortgage company. You need a different mortgage experience. American Financing is there because they're salary-based mortgage consultants. Their consultants are dedicated to help make smart mortgage decisions that align with your unique financial goals. Straightforward, effortless mortgage experience. If you want the right mortgage for you, you can trust the people at American Financing, and they're now doing reverse mortgages. So call their number now at 800-906-2440. It's 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net, 800-906-2440.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh, golly. Should we try to take the 1922 college entrance exam?
No. No, I don't think we should.
I mean, we're all pretty smart. We're, you know, I think we're...
All of us together? Or
yeah,
just
all
Jesse
of us together. I mean, together, we are probably smarter than the average one quarter of a person.
That's not think that saying
through.
A lot.
It is. Don't think that through. The course, the test, I bet you four questions. Can't get through four questions.
I'm sure you're right.
Where are you seeing this?
There's no question.
None of your business.
Where are you seeing this so I can Google
someone
it and look it up and see the answers?
Find it. No, do not. Close your computer.
Nope.
No, stop it right now. I'm going to give it to you next hour. Going to give it to you next hour.
Don't look it up.
Don't look it up. Don't do it. I'll just change the test because there's lots of them out there. So Google all you want.
I don't need to Google.
I'm too smart for Google.
Don't need to.
I can process millions of things and find exactly what I'm looking for on the web just by typing the exact address in, including the HTTP part. Let me also take you through a lesson of what the media really is like and ask you some tough questions about the media and ourselves when we come back.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
I love this story. Israel refuses to remove metal detectors from mosques despite rising violence. Well, why would you remove? It should be despite a lack of violence, despite a lack of problems. Then maybe you talk about removing the metal detectors. It's a rise in violence. You don't take away the things that help you stop that violence, but maybe it's just me. I'm not looking for wormholes anymore. I know I slipped through a wormhole and I'm in some sort of an America that looks like the one I grew up in, but has absolutely nothing to do with the America that you and I grew up in or the world. At least math makes sense, right? I mean, at least they're not teaching our kids that 2 + 2 = 5 sometimes, if you could explain it. All right, we're going to bring in someplace else right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Stu, start with just the facts. No speculation, just the facts on what is happening with our Attorney General right now. Donald Trump is rumored to be letting him go, or he's leaving the administration because of
This is not speculation. Donald Trump did not like the fact that Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation. He wanted an ally there, and instead has the Mueller investigation going on. And his belief is that if Sessions didn't recuse himself, he wouldn't be dealing with this.
Okay. But give me the facts. Sessions, when he took the job, there wasn't this talk of Russia, so he couldn't have said, hey, by the way, I'm out on that Russia thing.
Right. The timeline, he wouldn't be able to tell. Trump's hope in that New York Times interview was to say, look, if he wanted to recuse himself, fine, but tell me before I hire you so I can hire somebody else. But the timeline doesn't work out for that. He wouldn't have known about this yet. And then today Trump tweeted, called Sessions the beleaguered attorney general.
Why would you call him beleaguered? Why would you call your own guy beleaguered?
Well, the answer is he's not investigating the Clintons, which is interesting because Trump, of course, himself has said that he made the decision to not investigate the Clintons upon becoming president because, you know, they've gone through, they've taken their beating, essentially. Like, we don't need to bother with that. I mean, he said that right after he won.
Yeah.
And so,
it being magnanimous.
Right. We don't need to beat these people up anymore. That was kind of Trump's take on it. So now he's saying that
he's blaming that policy on Sessions.
So the speculation is, now we're crossing the line of speculation, that the Bannon, Sessions,
Priebus
group, which is one side of the sort of warring factions inside
the
White House.
Do you know what side that is? What side is that?
Well, I mean, Bannon and
Priebus.
Sessions made an alliance very early. Sessions was the first senator to endorse Donald Trump.
Right.
At the time, said to Bannon, reportedly, that he knew it was the end of his career if Trump didn't win. I mean, Sessions went out on a big limb. And the idea was Bannon had wanted Sessions to run for president, which Sessions turned down, but they wanted someone to essentially work and do this nationalist, strong border, strong on crime, this sort of nationalist philosophy that Bannon holds dear. So does Sessions, and they wanted someone to run for president under that platform. They initially wanted Sessions. Sessions turned that down, and then they decided to go to Trump. Bannon went to Trump and said, or excuse me, Bannon went to Sessions and said, look, our guy's here. He will do this. He will go with this philosophy. You need to support him. We need your support right now to make this happen and lock it in. Sessions, still skeptical that Trump would win, was nervous about this, but wound up going in on the promise and supported him. And it was the day after, I believe, Christie endorsed. And the Christie Sessions thing, really, you could argue, put them over the top with those two big endorsements at that time.
I think so.
Sessions
really hurt with the conservatives.
Yeah, it helps Trump a lot.
A lot.
Again, we talk about loyalty a lot with Donald Trump, and he talks about how loyal he is to everyone. It's interesting in that, like, Sessions, you could argue, was the guy. Sessions was there from the beginning, and he did get rewarded with a spot in the administration. However,
yeah, but if he leaves now,
6 months in, I mean,
he's given up his entire life work
in the Senate.
He's given up he has no chance of doing anything, and he hasn't accomplished anything. Now they're talking. Now this again is speculation. They're now talking about Rudy Giuliani coming in and being the head of justice, which, you know, Rudy Giuliani is a great prosecutor. But is he going to be an Eric Holder kind of guy? Or is he going to be a guy who sees justice and says we're going for justice no matter where it leads?
It's interesting in that the one differentiating part there between Giuliani and Sessions, because they're both known as being tough on crime. They're both known on that as that. But Sessions is known for the border stuff where Giuliani is not.
Right.
So if you're rooting for a wall, you might not like that switch so much.
Yeah, because Giuliani is much more of a open borders kind of guy.
That was one of the big complaints about him back when he was running for president.
Yeah.
Now he may very well still just could.
He's not a sanctuary city guy, though, is he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's pretty bad on immigration.
He might be.
pretty bad.
I mean, he makes
that's got to kill. If he would be replaced, if Sessions would be replaced by Giuliani, that'll kill Jeff Sessions. He'd just be like, "What have I done?"
But a lot of these people, you know, in the administration had differing viewpoints with Trump before they got in it, and they're able to do their jobs and support his agenda, right? I mean, there's a lot of that going on. So he it's not to say that Giuliani would change. It just if it's not your passion point. Or Sessions, it's been his passion point for a long time.
Right.
So you know he's trying to do everything he can to get that done. Where if it's not the number one priority for Giuliani, you know, it might not be as effective.
So if Trump would fire Jeff Sessions because of the Russia thing, do you have a problem with that? I'm asking you here and in the audience, too. Do you have a problem with that? There's an investigation. I'm trying to find out if there's any threshold of stopping. If he fires the attorney general because he wants him involved in the investigation, if he fires the special prosecutor, or if he starts to pardon people, is there a problem? Because I think those are stepping across lines. Sessions is probably the least of my concern.
Yeah, because, I mean, Sessions is, I mean, absolutely serves at the pleasure of the president and isn't in the middle of an investigation against the president. So, you know, if he wants to move on from Sessions to Giuliani, I think that's essentially his call, right?
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
You know, you could, you might not like the reasoning for it, but I mean, really, that's totally him doing whatever he wants.
The optics are bad, too.
Yeah, the optics are bad. It's going to be, it'll be another beating for him. But
it's him firing an ally, though. Yeah. It's a different type of, like, it's not good in that, like, you figure he probably shouldn't have hired the guy if he didn't want him for longer than 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I read a story today that actually said Priebus is looking like he's on his way out. However, Priebus hopes to make it to the end of the year. Like, that was his, like, upside. He was hoping to make it to the end of the year.
Wow.
It does not. These things
the loyalty
turn fast.
Here is very low. I mean, when you look at Jeff Sessions, he was loyal to Donald Trump all the way and really risked a lot for Donald Trump. And, you know, it's I read something about Bannon wanting to take on Kushner early on. And I'm like, you're a fool, man. That I mean, that's family 101. You think he's going to believe you over family? He's going to choose you over family? No, nobody would do that unless the family is really wrong. But Kushner's pretty smart. He's really smart. I mean, that's just this Russian roulette that you're playing. But Sessions is not. Have you heard Sessions in the anti-Kushner clan?
You know, the way it's presented in the media, and you never know from these internal circles, but that there are essentially, there's been three groups, and they say 3 and 3B is another one, but you've got the Kushner side, you've got the, which is, they call it the New York group, the Bannon side, which is sort of that, you know where the Bannon side
nationalist
comes from, the nationalist front, and then you have the establishment Washington type people who have been there and have joined the crusade as well. And then you kind of, Pence is the only one that I've ever seen separated out of those three groups, which is kind of, he's there doing his own thing and has been very loyal to the president. But of course, we all know believes kind of different things than the president, but has supported his agenda without fail, even behind closed doors, reportedly. The issue with those three groups, though, is the Washington one has kind of, I mean, you look at that group, you have Priebus, which kind of has folded in with the Bannon side. You have Spicer, who's now gone. So that group seems to have lost power, and it becomes the Bannon versus the Kushner group. And in that group, so far, Kushner is winning.
Can you imagine? I don't care who is in charge. I don't care who the president is. Can you imagine working in a building like the White House where you think your office politics suck?
Oh, my gosh.
Can you even imagine what that is like? No way.
That's brutal.
No way. People are jockeying now where they are bringing the president, you know, tweets and things that they think that they think he'll like, because they're jockeying for position. And others are like, don't bring that to the president because he'll respond to that and that will cause more problems, blah, blah, blah. you imagine the weasels that are at that level.
Yeah, the standard way it's reported is, oh, Donald Trump is sitting around obsessing about these television shows and something happens on Fox and Friends or Morning Joe and 10 minutes later he's tweeting the exact same thing. That may happen sometimes. We do know that he likes watching shows. However, the reporting from inside the White House is that there are people who know to get on Don's good side. You bring him the good, juicy stuff from the shows. So he, even when he doesn't see it, there are people there egging him on, and they bring the worst part of Morning Joe or the worst part or the part on Fox and Friends that has the, you know, the
whatever's going to excite him or ignite him. One of the two.
So then he tweets about it, which in a way is worse because he hasn't even seen it for himself.
Right.
And so he's kind of tweeting on someone else's word. But then he gets excited about it, tweets about it, and that's what starts these firestorms. But again, from an internal, well, it doesn't sound sensible if you're trying to make the best thing for the administration. But from the inside, if the president is happy with you, you're going to continue. You're incentivized to continue to do those sorts of things.
Oh my gosh.
It's tough. I can't imagine that world. Watch any of the.
I mean, really, is it any different than Game of Thrones? I mean, other than, you know.
Slightly less sex and violence.
Yeah,
but,
a lot less sex and violence. But I mean, unless it's the Clinton administration. But I mean, it's this Game of Thrones. Nothing much has changed. We just put suits and ties on. And now this. The USCCA knows that in today's unpredictable world, self-defense is more of a necessity than ever before. And fortunately, you're not alone. The first and largest organization dedicated to protecting responsible gun owners before, during, and after a self-defense incident. You can rest assured knowing that the USCCA has your back. Listen, here's the thing. We prepare. The minute we think, should I own a gun? You start to prepare. And you prepare for that moment of being ready to be able to shoot. But that's where our preparation stops. We have to prepare for what happens the moment after the shooting. God forbid any of us ever have to pull our gun, let alone use it. But if you do, who's protecting you? The bad guy? The guy who is threatening you, your family? That guy, he may be gone, but he's replaced with another guy. Another bad guy. This bad guy comes with a suit and a briefcase and possibly threatens you with jail time. And your life for the next 3 years is going to be upside down. No matter if justified or not, it's upside down. Who is paying for that? Who's counseling you and protecting you? Go to protectanddefend.com right now. They're giving away $1,776 for guns and ammo right now. Five lucky winners they're going to be selecting right now. The entry is completely free, but go there and find out how they will protect and defend you at protectanddefend.com. Protectanddefend.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Is the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh boy. There's a couple of things that you should be aware of. The Swedish alt-right, the Swedish Nazis, if you will, trained in Russia. They were taken to Russia, and Russia paramilitary people who are training and learning how to turn the Ukraine are now starting to take people in from all over Europe, including these Nazis now in Sweden, and training them on how to be terrorists. And they are now starting to blow things up in Sweden, in Gothenburg, Sweden. These Nazis had taken an asylum camp, if you will, and blown it up. Bad. Oh. So another reason why not to trust Russia, they are siding with all of the worst players and characters on the planet. Then there's this. Pentagon is developing something with DARPA, developing technology that allows the next generation of soldiers to fire their weapons with their minds. They believe the mind-technology relationship that underpins the use of artificial limbs might help human soldiers fire their guns quicker. So here's what it is. The mind makes a decision, good guy, bad guy, fire the gun. Mind makes a decision, brain puts it into action, sends the signal, squeeze the trigger. They're saying that's not fast enough. So what they're trying to do is come up with artificial ways to read the mind and get fire the gun to the gun faster than your body can.
It's kind of like eliminating the check swing possibility, which seems like not necessarily a positive. You kind of want that half split second to be able to reconsider what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean,
in those
we
moments.
Are really not. Mm. I mean, how many times have you made a split second decision and it was wrong? Think of this. Cops have to make a split second decision. How many times have they made a decision and went, stop? How many times has that second killed them? But that second also saved them.
I would love to see the legal proceedings afterwards when the mind fires a bullet. The cop says he didn't want to shoot. The mind fires a bullet. It winds up turning out wrong for whatever reason. The person wasn't armed, whatever. Lawsuits occur. I thought about it, but I didn't want to actually fire at that time. I mean, how could you?
How are you even responsible? Aren't you more machine?
Will we at least be dead of old age before this happens?
Oh, my gosh.
I hope so.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's just...
Look, I got kids. Let them deal with this sort of crap.
Didn't we see where this road leads us in the documentary RoboCop? I mean, it seemed right? pretty clear in that movie that it's right? problematic.
This is about a robotic police officer, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great documentary. Mm-hmm. I saw a preview for a new documentary called Blade Runner.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the new one.
Wow. Does that look great? Blade Runner 2049, I think it is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That looks so good.
That looks awesome.
Glenn, that's a movie. It's not a documentary, you moron.
Oh.
Ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I forgot. But I am going to that documentary this weekend. Nuclear Woman.
Oh, Blonde. Nuclear Brunette, it's called.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, Atomic Blonde.
Yes, that's
what it is. I can barely remember the name or the look of that blonde.
America's united in its support of Atomic Blonde this weekend. We're all very excited about it. I mean, from a film, I'm just interested in the
As
film.
A filmmaker.
As a filmmaker.
I
myself.
Own my own studio. Mm-hmm. As a filmmaker, I have movies I must see. And this is one of them.
Mm-hmm. I am 100% on board.
Have your special theater for that one as well?
No, I'll take any theater. I'll take. It was not my special theater. It was Stu's special theater, which I mocked before I saw Dunkirk in it. If you're around a Dolby Atmos 70 millimeter screen, go see Dunkirk in that. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Something tells me they're going to keep Dunkirk in those theaters this weekend and not put Atomic Blonde in them. But that's the only reason I will not be seeing in the 70-millimeter theater this weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh.
A terrible decision by them.
70-millimeter. That particular atomic specimen. Not the blonde. I don't care about the blonde. But that atomic specimen in a 70-millimeter. Hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. Okay. All right. Going to take a quick shower. We'll come back in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
So Blade Runner come out?
I think October.
That looks so unbelievably good.
And Harrison Ford's in it. At 89, early 90s,
no,
what
come
is
on,
he
No,
now?
Seriously, he's like 70,
early hundreds.
Maybe?
No, he's way over 70, isn't he?
75?
Yeah, probably in there. Between 70 and 75, I would say.
You know, I was thinking about Elton John this weekend. I don't know why. I was listening to an Elton John song. And I thought, how old is he? He's going to be probably the first guy to die a natural death that I grew up really listening to, being a fan of his, really being, he was my era.
Now, do you know what kind of death Elton John is going to succumb to?
No, I don't, but I'm not saying that he's going to die, now, but who else is there that was in your childhood that has been going on, you know, the Beatles, Paul McCartney, he's before me.
Yes.
So he's not my
Definitely
generation.
For us, yeah.
Elton John, Billy Joel, kind of my generation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, George Michael's kind of in that generation. He's gone.
No, but he's not a guy that I grew up with.
Elton's 70.
And that wasn't a regular, that wasn't a, you know, a normal death. That was a drug overdose. Elton John's only 70?
Yeah. Oh, Harrison Ford is 74.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Harrison Ford, 74. Yeah.
He'll be another guy that when he dies, you know, Harrison Ford, a guy that I grew up watching the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Valerian.
Oh, yeah. The City of a Thousand Planets or whatever.
Uh-oh.
I bet that was terrific.
It's 2 hours of a thousand deaths.
No,
it's
really.
Just.
I don't know what it is, but I love sci-fi movies like that, but that looks like it's terrible.
It is everything you think it is and more.
Wow.
It is awful.
It cost them $209 million.
Oh, it's going to cost them more than that. These people won't work again.
Yeah, it only made 17. Yeah, it's set up to be one of the bigger box office bombs of all time. Just $17 million this weekend, and it's going to go down a lot from there if it's bad.
And if you missed the movie review earlier of Dunkirk,
really good,
really worth seeing. Really, really good.
Although Glenn blew it. Apparently had us a war scene. Totally. Spoiler alert.
The British loot. Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. You're giving away way too much.
All right. Let me give you an entrance examination for the University of Illinois 1922. I'm going to give you five questions. See if anyone can answer any of these five questions. Describe the conditions causing Achilles to stop fighting.
You get shot in the it's
usually taking a step the wrong way.
His heel, right?
Yeah, it was his Achilles tendon.
Yeah, his tendon was cut.
You'll need reconstructive surgery.
Okay.
Out for the rest of the season.
Easily out for the season, yeah.
What was Franklin's plan for the Union of the Colonies? Discuss his arguments in favor of it. It's 1922. Discuss Benjamin Franklin's plan for the Union of the Colonies. Discuss his arguments in favor of it.
I mean,
I have no idea.
His plan was flew a kite. A republic, right?
And like lightning struck a key.
Maybe. How about this one? Maybe his plan came from that Indian chief that said, you know, bind them together and they're strong. Maybe.
Maybe.
That's as close as I can get.
The snake.
Yeah.
And then you have
a Duran Duran song, Union
of the State. It's on the rise.
Yeah, so that could be it, too. That could be it, too. I don't think any of these are right, but Join or Die? Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
What characters in A Midsummer Night's Dream are more than mere types? Defend your answer.
I don't do Shakespeare.
Well,
I'd have to tell him that. I don't do Shakespeare.
Yeah, I think probably the clarifying thing is Shakespeare's dumb. So don't ask me about it again. That's how I would answer that.
When that's relevant to my life, I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys
summarize. Oh, it is. Summarize the chief ideas you gained from reading one of Thackeray's essays in The English Humorist.
Yeah, I forgot. Oh, yeah. I forgot to read the Thackeray.
Point out
diaries.
Four distinctly poesque characteristics marking the raven.
Now you should be able to nail this.
I think I could do that. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I could do that.
The use of the word
thought.
Quaff. Is one.
Quoth.
Quoth. Quoth.
No, I don't think that is one of them.
No?
Okay, so those are just five of them. What does that tell you?
We have different priorities.
Mm-hmm. They study different things, that's for sure.
So now, actually, here's what's interesting. Annie Holmquist wrote an article about these five questions. And she said, one might argue that just because today's entrance exam don't ask us thorough or probing questions doesn't mean that high school students are not familiar with a wide range of classic and historical works. Unfortunately, the experience of university professors such as Alan Bloom suggest otherwise. In 87, Bloom wrote that the decline of student reading habits first became evident in the 1960s. He notes that while many, there may have been a few who grazed on the classics in high school, the notion of books as companions is foreign to them. Lacking in this knowledge, students will also have a much narrower lens to which to view the world and interpret it.
That makes sense because there were so many other things to entertain people by then, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in 1920, your entertainment was a book.
Correct.
Not anymore.
Students today have nothing like the characters that Dickens gave, which right. sharpened our vision, allowing us some subtlety in our distinction of human types.
No, they're forgetting about Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets there.
She's not
taking that into account.
It is a complex set of experiences that enables one to so simply say, he's a Scrooge. Yeah. Without literature, no such observations are possible, and the fine art of comparison is lost. The psychological obtuseness of our students is appalling because they only have pop psychology. Listen to this. Because they only have pop psychology to tell them what people are like and a range of their motives. As awareness that we owed almost exclusively to literary genius falters, people become more alike for want of knowing that they can be otherwise. What poor substitutes for real diversity are the wild rainbows of dyed hair and other external differences that tell the observer nothing about what is inside that matters.
It's pretty insightful.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. Try to get your kids to read a classic. Try. Mm. Almost impossible. Almost impossible. Trying to get them to read something that was written 100 years ago it's so slow for them. They want action. They want, okay, get to a story. They don't sit well through the descriptions of what the room looked like, what the people looked like, what, you know, they just want, give me the meat, give me the meat, give me the meat. Tell me the story. Mm-hmm. Tried to get Rafe to read Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde all summer long. Couldn't get him to read it. Went to Barnes & Noble and picked up a comic book, a graphic novel on Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Got one of Dracula and Frankenstein as well. Have you guys ever read Frankenstein?
No.
It is nothing like the movie. Nothing like the movie. And I've been trying
to
get
him. He's not even a monster, is he? He's not even a monster.
Actually, he's an accountant.
He's an accountant. And the doctor, he's a doctor, he's an accountant, and a vet. And he finds a mouse. The mouse has a broken leg, and he sets it, and he says, let my creature live, for no reason, really, at all. So try to get him to read it. Would not. Get those comic books for him. He reads them, and he came back to me today. He came back to me a couple months ago and said, Dad, Frankenstein is nothing. And I wanted to go, oh, really? I've been saying that. But I was like, huh, not like it at all. He's like, we have got to read Frankenstein. Huh, yeah. Maybe, yes, we should. Good idea, son. We have to find ways to get our kids to look deeper and to go back into, I mean, who was it? The Penn Jillette's good friend, Christopher Hitchens, who just died, the atheist? Several years ago. But what he said was, in defense of the Bible, he said, if you want to understand the West, if you want to understand Shakespeare, you must understand the Bible. The Bible should be read just as literature, because it is the basis of everything in the West,
and certainly the U.S. Constitution.
Right, everything comes from them.
Yeah.
So you don't,
whether you like it or not.
He suggested that it should be the number one thing taught for literature. Here's a guy who disagrees with every word in the Bible, but he's like, that is the basis. That's the stock of the West, and unless you understand that stock, how do you read classics? How do you read Shakespeare?
That's amazing coming from an avowed atheist like he was.
And if you don't understand Shakespeare, how do you really understand the West and England and war and what the lessons are behind Macbeth and a lot of his work?
And that battle is you're losing, right? It's not just with your son. It's with every person. Did you see the Jeffrey Katzenberg, his former DreamWorks executive, is raising $2 billion to put Hollywood-style budgets, sets, actors, scripts, everything into new 10-minute episodes of television? So you think of all the money that they're putting into TV already. They want to focus that to 10 minutes because they think people aren't watching half an hour and an hour episodes, or they won't be as much in the future. This will be a better way to deliver shows. 10 minutes.
Well, that's what all the YouTubers are doing, right? They create 10, 15-minute YouTube clips, post them. That's what everybody's watching.
That's true.
In some ways, you know, we'll be talking about this in September. And in some regards, we're moving the same way here.
Yeah.
We're moving the same way here.
That the Ben Sass book we talked to him about a few weeks ago, a lot of that is about actually reading. Here's a giant list of books for you to read. Here is, like, we need to go back to these times. Because you're right, it's a deeper education. And it's weird because being intelligent is something that used to be reflected in questions like that. Explain this. Here's a fact. It's a test. And really, our minds, because of Google, have evolved to, that's not really what it is anymore.
Have you guys heard anybody say that the third Planet of the Apes is the story of Moses?
Yes.
Have you heard it from somebody else?
Yes.
Okay. I had not heard that before. And I whispered that to my son, and my son said, "Of course it is, Dad. Hello." And we've had several conversations on that. You don't even have to believe the Bible.
I hope you grounded him for that disrespectful attitude.
Yeah, what do you call him, Moses a monkey? Is that what you're saying?
Man.
Yeah, no, he's in his...
Rafe Beck compares monkey to Moses! Yeah. He should have done a new media matters release on
don't
that.
Worry, he's in his God cage.
And treating you as if you're stupid. Yeah. I mean...
Right.
Where does he get off?
Right, exactly right. God cage for him. Anyway, it's in his closet. He would not have been able to have a different understanding of what was happening. He would have had no comparisons to Planet of the Apes. It just would have been an ape movie. Instead, it became, oh my gosh, look at the pattern here. Look at the pattern of Moses. Look at the pattern of the people. Look at what happened. Is this deliverance? Those kinds of things are important, and we're losing all of that. You can find this, by the way, up at glennbeck.com and my Facebook page, Glenn Beck, facebook.com/Glenn Beck. Predictability is boring. ProFlowers makes it really easy to surprise somebody right now. And making it even easier with a special offer right now, the Farm Stand Flowers. You'll get 20% off this collection of any of their unique exclusive bouquets, $29 or more. The flowers are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days or your money back. They're the Farm Stand Flowers. If anybody grew up, I grew up in the Skagit Valley, and we had Farm Stand Flowers. We grew up around the tulip fields, and there was nothing better than Farm Stand Flowers. You can get them now, guaranteed to last 7 days or your money back. You get to pick the date of your unexpected surprise. You'll get 20% off your Farm Stand Flowers right now or any other bouquet of $29 or more. Do you do something this weekend? You're like, oh boy, that was stupid. Or do you just love her to death? Farm Stand Flowers now, proflowers.com. Use the promo code Glenn at checkout. Do it now. Proflowers.com, promo code Beck. Don't wait. Make your day right now.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com. Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, so if you saw Dunkirk, I will not spoil anything. But there is a pilot that lands on the beach, and it's a pretty amazing moment. And I wondered, is this true at all? And it apparently is based or closely resembles Alan Christopher. He was known as Al Deer at the time. He was from New Zealand. He flew a Spitfire. It was very similar to this, except his tail was hit by a rear gunner of a German plane. And so this scene is very similar. I won't give any more other than he lands on the beach, and it's apparently his story that they took. He had a gash
so
on
it's
his
kind of true
gash on his face. And when a woman from the mole, the beach, ran out to help him, stitched him back up, got him onto a boat. When he was getting onto the boat, she heard people say, "Where the hell were you?" Because he was a pilot. Right. So there's some interesting things.
It happened. Wow.
It did happen, wow. Not the way it does in the movie.
And where the hell he was where he should have been,
yeah.
And saved a lot of lives.
Yeah, pretty wow. Amazing, pretty amazing stuff.
So much for Evan to see the movie.
Yeah, no. And the Germans actually beat English and the French right there on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And they send boats to get the guys. The English.
Okay, stop, crazy. Stop.
Oh, I didn't mean to spoil it.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello. Hello, America. You haven't lived until you've heard Pat's weekend. Yeah. Pat had to watch the Twilight. He's avoided it for all these years. The Twilight trilogy.
They're
with
great.
His wife.
And actually, there's two more.
Yeah.
To
what?
Endure.
What do you,
there's five. More? There's five.
The hell? Shut your mouth on that.
You know.
Sorry.
Yeah. Shut up. What do you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, there's five.
No, there's not.
There's
three.
At least four.
There's the three. No, there's the three. There's the trilogy. And we will discuss this no more. Also, a way to figure out the media. Unfortunately, we have to figure out ourselves at the same time. We do that right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I know, don't start.
What?
Don't start. I forgot that they cut it into, I forgot they cut the last one into two
so,
books.
So yeah, there were going to be four, and,
yeah,
and then
that's right,
it
that's
was
right.
too meaty, so
thank
they had
God.
To split it in two.
Two
more movies.
Oh, it was so obnoxious. That is the only good theater experience I ever had in New York City. Every time I went to the movies in New York City, it was bad. And this time I was sitting next, there was a guy who, if he knew who I was, he put his hatred of that series over his hatred for me. And that was saying something in New York.
No doubt.
And I was sitting in the theater and there was only one seat. There was a seat between us. And every guy in there walked in like a zombie with their wife or their girlfriend. And I'm sitting next to this guy. I'm sitting next to this guy. And at some point, I just look at some really bad. And I just look over at him and he looks over at me and he went, "Right?" And I said, "I can't take it." He said, "How much longer is this?" I don't know. And then our wives both poked us, jabbed us, and we sat there like dutiful husbands watching it. I don't know how you, A, got away with not seeing it for this long.
I know.
And then got roped into watching it with her all weekend.
It's a weird phenomenon. My wife's always been opposed to this series.
Yeah.
And we've...
That's a pretty big guy series for you,
tried to steer our kids away from it.
Yeah, because of the vampire thing.
Yeah. And but...
The undead.
Her... She was in Utah for 8 days, and her best friend is a huge Twilight fan, and so she finally succumbed to watching it. And so after the first one the other night... After Twilight, we watched the whole thing, and I keep my mouth shut because I didn't want to ruin the experience because it's a quality one. So at the end of the movie, I stand up and say, "Wow, that is worse than I ever thought it could be. Was that the biggest piece of trash? The dialogue is horrific. The acting sucks." She's like, "I loved it." And at that point, I lost
You're
all
doomed.
Respect for
You're
my
You're doomed
wife.
Right there.
Yes.
Right.
Wow.
Yes. Wow, it was, I mean...
So am I to understand, Glenn Beck, that you have not seen all of them?
No, I have. I forgot. I thought it was the trilogy, but I forgot there were four books.
Oh, okay, because I'll email Tanya.
And they cut the last
five
one.
Got the movies.
Yeah, five
house.
Movies.
I mean,
no, believe me.
Want,
she has watched them on her own since. Like, what are you doing? watching Twilight. Oh, dear God, I'm gone. I have to mow the lawn of the neighbors for the next 3 days.
And I guess, you know, the experience, maybe it clouds women's judgment because Taylor Lautner, whatever his name is half naked the whole time.
He's not the only one.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I know. But it's, stop.
And I didn't notice a difference between the naked men and the naked women. I don't notice those things.
There were no
anymore.
Naked women. I mean, the women
but it
are
doesn't
all
matter. Naked men, naked women, they're all the same to me. It's all okay. It's all okay.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
So I am both attracted and not attracted to naked women and naked men. It doesn't matter. I don't see them as objects or people, even.
Mm-hmm. That's very enlightened and forward-thinking.
Yeah.
Sure is.
I'm not in with your cisgender nonsense.
Your gender normative standards? Is that what you're trying to say?
Your gender normative standards. I won't hear of it, Pat.
I have movie normative standards, too, and this didn't fit them. This did not rise
really?
To them. No.
You know, it could be said that we're all escaping on the weekend. Could be said.
It could be said that.
Because I rarely do double features. And I've done a couple of weekends of double features in a row.
Last weekend we were escaping. What was it last weekend?
I don't remember.
There were two big ones.
And by the way, I have to tell you, everybody says, you know, there's not a lot of good movies. I think there are a lot of good movies. I think Dunkirk is great.
I know, like almost everything you've seen this
good.
Summer.
Not everything, but I mean.
Well, you've seen two movies that you said were the greatest movies of all time. Dunkirk.
No, I said it was a masterpiece, and I stand by that.
And Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
which I thought was great.
I thought was a mess.
I loved it. I loved it. Yeah.
But Dunkirk, we agree on. That's a good movie.
Great movie. You have many positive attributes, and then also movie reviews.
All right. I happen to agree with Pat on Twilight.
That's true. I'm glad to hear that. I am really glad to hear that.
I will say Pat is in a much better arguing position here. You, my friend, were not only excited about the movies, you were telling us about the books before the movies came out.
I thought the Twilight series was a great series of books.
And then you excitedly went to the theater and were excited about it. Pat was forced into it by marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and he fought it the whole way. You were thrilled about going to see it. So Pat is much more in the clear here.
No, I have a much more credible movie review then, because I liked the books. I wanted to see the movie, and then I saw the movie, and I was like, holy mother of everything that is good and sacred, please take me now.
And you talk about a dumb storyline. I mean, Stephenie Meyer gets all this credit for an incredible... That is the dumbest story ever written.
I liked it.
I did too.
I like the book. Have you ever read...
First of all, vampires can't go out in the sun. We all know that. They don't just glisten in the sun. They die! They burn to death.
Who are you to be the... End all and be all of vampire.
I am a guy who's seen a lot of vampire movies, and I know what's right and what's not.
Have you?
Yes.
Tell me about Nosferatu.
What about him?
Tell me about what happens to him.
He gets really old. He bites people.
So I no longer believe you as an authority on vampirism. Do you see the... I did an interview with John Ziegler. From Mediaite and his podcast. I think Ziegler is one of the more honest people in the media, almost to a fault. He just does not care and have every belief in me that at some point we'll do something that he doesn't like and he'll say that we're the worst human beings of all time.
It's possible.
On that issue. So I did an interview with him this weekend and I thought it was a good interview, and he wrote something last night. In my rather strange media career, I've had the chance to do interviews with some rather high profile newsmakers in some sticky situations. While my weekend podcast discussion with conservative libertarian talk show host Glenn Beck was not the most publicized that I've ever done, it may have been the most fascinating and important. If you care even a little bit about our dysfunctional media machinery and broken national dialogue, I urge you to listen to all 40 minutes of it. If you do, you'll be way ahead of many of those who commented on it. this is what I want to concentrate on. You should listen to the podcast. John asked some really good questions, some really good answers in it.
But he's great.
But if it, what I'm fascinated by is how the media portrayed this, how the headlines changed. For instance, the one headline was misleading. Beck takes on the right. Or no, something, it was the most, it was like a
Beck talks to Trump. I think
or talks about Trump.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the next one was Beck takes on Trump. Then the next headline was Beck talks trash about Trump. I mean, it just spirals. And if you read the comments, they don't even read or listen to the first source. They have no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
So I just wanted to show you the opposite of the headlines that you're reading. That Beck takes on Trump. Listen to his questions and the beginnings of my answers.
How would you grade Trump after 6 months in comparison to what you had anticipated or feared?
Let me say this, that I think we have an extraordinary opportunity right now to get Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan out of leadership. They have been a disaster. They can't get anything passed because what they're trying to pass has nothing to do with conservative values or the conservative movement or actually even helping people.
Seems like you didn't even mention Trump.
Didn't mention Trump there.
Huh.
Okay, is there any other examples of that? Maybe?
Who or what surprised you most about how specifically, the conservative media has dealt with Trump from the beginning of this odyssey until today?
I would say, in an unflattering way, I would say me.
Okay. So now you can skip to the next one. What is this one about? This one is about the other headline that ran. First, Beck takes on Trump. Look, we have an incredible opportunity right now that I didn't see coming, and that's getting real tax reform passed if we can get Congress to move. Don't even mention him. Then the next one is, really, let's get you to take on the right-wing media. Who were you disappointed in? Answer, me.
Because you didn't read the pain of the audience well
right.
enough, or the Americans. And then he pushes you a little bit further on it.
Who or what surprised you most about the conservative media with regard to their dealing with Trump?
Wow, you're just trying to pin me down, aren't you?
Glenn, I gave you a wide open there. I didn't ask you to who. I said who or what. So I'm giving you all sorts of options here.
Okay, so I'm just going to go with what, because I think people can make their own conclusions, and I just...
Right.
I'm tired of the fighting back and forth, but people can make their own conclusions.
I mean,
so you never
bastard
anybody
right
there.
So here's what I wanted to pull out of this. And I was grateful to John for an interesting and intelligent conversation. They don't happen very often. Listen to John Ziegler's podcast. You can find it in the links up at my Facebook page or glenbeck.com. But it was interesting and intelligent. So thanks for that. Second, interesting how the headlines that were grabbed, many of them didn't reflect the interview. And if they did, they were the least interesting parts of it. They were just the bloody meat parts of it. And one more step. Look at the comments from people on Facebook. Look at the comments from people under the stories. We say we think that the media is horrible and they report fake news and we don't know the truth because of them and they'll never report the truth. Well, none of us are either. Because if you're commenting on something that you haven't read, if you're commenting on something that you haven't listened to, let me give you this. He writes in this, this is what I posted last night. This was hysterical. I posted last night, quote, Anyone who's bothered to listen to the whole interview would know that this simply was not even remotely true. In fact, I don't think Beck even directly criticized Trump even one time, despite me giving him numerous opportunities to do so. It was clear to me that Beck was bending over backwards to give Trump every chance possible to succeed, but while also standing on conservative principles in an effort to keep him and the movement at least somewhat honest. In reality, one of the more extraordinary moments in the discussion came when I asked him who or what surprised him most about ... Okay, so that's what I post. The comments were, right, then why just stick your face in the Cheetos?
Wait. God, these people are obsessed with that bit.
They really are. They really are. Glenn bashed Trump repeatedly. Okay. Mr. Beck, seems to me like you have a choice of accepting our form of government out of love of your country and continue to support the Constitution, blah, blah, blah. John Ziegler is another liberal hack.
Liberal?
Yeah.
Oh,
bull, all Beck and his sidekicks do is try to criticize Trump. It goes on and on and on and on. They didn't even take the time to realize that this was a quote out of something that had happened that day about an interview. So they didn't listen to the interview and they didn't read the story. All they saw was Beck, Trump, Ziegler.
Yeah,
and they went.
For some people, unless you are saying that Donald Trump is the fourth member of the Godhood.
No, but I don't think that's...
They're not happy.
It's not just Donald Trump supporters. It's all of us. It's all of us with our own point of view. We see somebody that says anything that we think we know what they're talking about because we've put this person in a box. We automatically jump to, yeah, well, that guy. There's no way to move forward unless we can have actual conversations. There's no way to move forward. The average person spends 10 seconds per news story. So when you're looking at your story on Facebook or however you get your news, The Blaze or glenbeck.com or whatever, the average person only spends 10 seconds per story. How can you possibly know what that story is about? You can't. And we're all spouting off like we know everything, when in reality, all of us know nothing. Now this, let me tell you a story about Stephanie. Stephanie and her husband made the hard decision to take a transfer that her husband's job offered. Well, that meant they had to leave their hometown of 24 years. They had to leave their children and their grandchildren. Very emotional move. Stephanie is a listener to the program. Hi, Steph. And she knew that we could help with this emotional move. She reached out to realestateagentsitrust.com. She left a message. She got a return call within the hour. Her agent, Ashley, helped to try to make this a much easier and better experience. They prayed together. They laughed together. And Ashley got her home sold. realestateagentsitrust.com. They're going to help you find a real estate agent in your town that actually is somebody that you want to work with, somebody that you have the same values, the same principles behind you, and somebody who is going to get your home sold on time and for the most amount of money. Buying or selling your home, realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com.
The Glenn Beck Program.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
We are one.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. 888-727 Beck.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello and welcome to the program. Some sad news today coming out of London. We have a clip of a press conference that Charlie Gard's parents just filed in London.
Charlie has been left with his illness to deteriorate devastatingly to the point of no return. This has also never been about parents know best. All we wanted to do was take Charlie from one world-renowned hospital to another world-renowned hospital in the attempt to save his life and to be treated by the world leader in mitochondrial disease. We will have to live with the what-ifs which will haunt us for the rest of our lives. Despite the way that our beautiful son has been spoken about sometimes as if he is not worthy of a chance at life, our son is an absolute warrior and we could not be prouder of him and we will miss him terribly. His body, heart and soul may soon be gone, but his spirit will live on for eternity and he will make a difference to people's lives for years to come. We will make sure of that. We are now going to spend our last precious moments with our son Charlie, who unfortunately won't make his first birthday in just under 2 weeks' time.
Wow.
Good heavens.
That's just heartbreaking.
Oh my gosh.
It is heartbreaking.
Sad story. The case was supposed to be heard again today, but the doctor said because of the delay with the court cases and everything else, that he was no longer fit for any of the procedures. And yet, you listen to the father, the way he speaks of this proud hospital that doomed his son to death.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Great story from Eric Erickson. Which way will conservatives go? In the end, Trump will force conservatives to decide if they love the rule of law more than they hate liberals. I'm not confident in the outcome. That was a tweet by Rod Dreher. He said, so Eric writes, I share his lack of confidence in the outcome. There is rapidly developing on the right a group of tribalists who think that they have all of the left and they can beat the left. And in doing so, they'll become more and more each day just like the left. Consider intersectionalism for a moment. You should get comfortable with that term because it is the buzzword of the decade on the left. It posits that we must take into account the whole person to determine levels of power and degrees of discrimination. So, in other words, heterosexual, Christian, white, male has maximum power, minimal chances of being discriminated against, while black, transgender, lesbian has near minimal power and maximum chance of being discriminated against. The result is that any black transgendered lesbian must be put in a position of power over everyone else, and no one can second guess that person without it being their privilege talking. It lets loose a Lord of the Flies atmosphere on the left, now set loose on college campuses. A liberal in good standing can soon find herself tied to the post at an academic firing line because she didn't recognize that though she's hermaphrodite and lesbian, she was both an actual genuine white woman. Therefore, she has way too much privilege and had no business telling the transgendered Hispanic midget not to talk in class. On the right, those in the tribal class of beat the left are no different, though they presently judge themselves based on fealty to Trump. This person was with Trump from day one, so he must be listened to and respected more than the person who was not with Trump until after South Carolina primary. And both must be treated with greater value than the jackass traitor who only decided to loyally stick to Trump after he became the Republican nominee. Their ideas at this point inconsequential, and that is wholly reflected in their own candidate's administration. The Trump agenda consists of nothing more than rage tweeting against the media and political opponents, says Eric Erickson, which his supporters of the beat the left variety tell us has a secret meeting. It's part of a larger plan that we're not smart enough to see, and he fights. The alternative is that the rule of law must matter. And I think we're rapidly moving to the point where those of us who think it does will be more or less the monks in the monastery keeping vigil around actual truth and knowledge. I want you to know Eric is right about this point in our history coming, intersectionalism. We are about to hit the intersection where we now are going to have to decide whether the rule of law matters. We've already known that principles don't matter. We understand that lies don't matter. We understand that corruption doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter as long as it's your side doing it. The question is, does rule of law matter? Now listen to this. Some of us will see the armed bandits and roving hordes tear down our doors and seek to ruin us. But others will have to carry on until it's safe to come out and show there really is a better way. Frankly, that's what churches in America are doing right now, tearing down tribal lines with the unity of Christ. But there are too many on both sides who have joined up with the tribes, and too many congregants, even within still sane churches, who are flirting with the tribes. Right now, the Beat the Left Republicans are willing to pass a health care bill that breaks every single promise on the right. Because the left is upset about it, they now think it's a great idea that they will actually fund Planned Parenthood to get it done. They will grow government and fund Planned Parenthood because the left doesn't like the bill. They will also coddle Russia and turn a blind eye to any abuses of power on their own side, so long as their own side continues to beat the left. The problem is, of course, is that history is somewhat cyclical and politics even more so. Just as Barack Obama established the precedents to abuse executive orders that Donald Trump has now grabbed hold of, Donald Trump is establishing precedents the Democrats will soon grab a hold of once they take the White House. The Beat the Left Republicans are so committed to winning, no matter the cost, that they have failed to see and plant their feet upon first rule of fight. Nothing in politics is permanent. One day, we will find ourselves on the losing side with a beat the right attitude and mob. When that Democrat is in the White House, who will marvel and behold the complete collapse of the rule of law, which he can take advantage of? If the right is going to surrender the moral high ground and adopt all tactics of the left, they shouldn't be surprised to see the Democrat who comes to power next and what he does. If he does what this president claimed he would do, but had the foresight not to do, engage in a politically motivated prosecution of the prior administration. So what do we do? Now, here's interesting. As we're getting into this beat the left, beat the left, beat the left, nothing matters. Remember, these people are not going away. And if the pendulum swings the other way, everything that you said was fair game will be fair game and embraced. We're struggling with it now. They will embrace it and dance with it. You need evidence? Let's talk about the reemergence of Al Gore. Notice Al Gore has been missing for, strangely, 8 years. Now, first year of Republicans, he's strangely back.
Boy, that's really true, isn't it?
Beating the war drums of global warming. Listen.
Why did you make the prediction at the time, and are you making a new one right? The premiere of an inconvenient sequel, Truth to Power, with former Vice President Al Gore. So the first question I have for you was the prediction that you made in the first film about reaching the point of no return in 10 years. That was back in 2006. Looking back on that prediction, why did you make the prediction at the time, and are you making a new one right now given the current circumstances?
Well, first of all, we've seen a lot of progress since the first movie came out. We have the Paris Agreement now. The cost of renewable energy has come down so quickly that people are switching over.
Okay, stop for a second.
As if
the Paris Agreement, that's changed That's changed the timeline.
It just happened.
It hasn't even been fully implemented. What are you talking about?
I mean, that's the first thing you need to do when you're with Al Gore is to call his BS on that.
Right. And then, wait a minute, hold on just a second. And then the price of renewals has come so far down so far that people are racing towards it? No. I don't think so. And by the way, electric cars. What an electric car. Oh, yeah, that's right. Electricity comes from coal fire plants. I mean, what are you talking about?
And natural gas is massively expanded as well, which is the only reason emissions have dropped is because we're using a different fossil fuel that has less emissions.
None of that has affected the climate yet.
No, of course not.
He knows that.
And I mean, the Paris Agreement isn't even in effect
right.
in any meaningful way. And even if it was, it still wouldn't do anything. As all of their models show, it's just a first step to eventually get to something that would do something.
But so he's taking these things, which they have said are just a first step to get to a 100-year plan, and he's taking credit and saying that we haven't seen these doomsday predictions come true because of these things that he has also said wouldn't make any difference now. It's too late.
But this is always the case with they have it both ways.
Yes.
Unfortunately, some elements of the Earth system have crossed a point of no return. A big chunk of the West Antarctic ice sheet, for example, makes a considerable amount of sea level rise.
Okay. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It didn't melt. It broke. It's still there. It was already in the water. It was already causing whatever rise an ice sheet is going to cause. It hasn't affected it at all, nor will it unless it floats to Florida and melts. Then maybe we'll see a sea rise.
And NASA and everyone has said that was not caused by global warming. It is a naturally occurring thing. When the glacier starts to go out, it's pushed down. It's moving. As the glacier is pushed out over a long period of time, they can get so heavy that they finally snap off from the rest of the glacier. It's like a toenail.
It's called calving.
It's called calving.
And by the way, in the articles about this particular incident, the head researchers who discovered it all say there is no tie to global warming.
None.
This is the normal thing that happens.
It constantly grows out. That's what those do. They grow. It's like a fingernail or toenail. It just continues to grow out. You have to cut it. This is called calving, where it just snaps off. It's natural. And also, all of them have said, it doesn't affect the sea level. So, again, lies.
Inevitable in the future. But we still have the ability to stop short of other points of no return. And we now have the solutions available to really solve this crisis. We need the political will, but political will is a renewable resource.
So I don't know about you, but when I saw Dunkirk, I saw did you see the preview for this awful?
No.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah, it was before Dunkirk.
Oh, wow. We need to go, I think, as a show. We need to go.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go.
Now, we're going to take us to something else, but yes, we'll go to that.
Yeah. We should just take a whole audience to it.
Oh, man.
Take a whole audience to it.
Can we buy tickets to something else?
I wonder if we can get some sort of a free preview or something.
Oh, surely Al's going to be all over that one.
Absolutely, they'll be all
necessarily
over that.
Al would.
Maybe some movie theater.
You know what? Maybe we should just do it because he's good for comedy. And it's good. It's a good spend of money because he discredits the global warming thing so much.
Be great if we could stop and start the film.
Yes.
At the theater.
Yes, it would.
Oh, man.
And come respond on, to all.
No, wait a second. Stop.
Can't line his pockets, though. Great. Cannot line his pockets under any circumstances. That's all he's doing this for anyway. He can't give him any of what that's what he wants. He wants people to go see it so he can line his pockets somehow. There's always something with this guy.
Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. The U.S. dollar has lost 10%. That is a 2-year low against the euro. So why is this a problem? Because a stable dollar allows the Fed to unwind their QE measures with less risk. What does that mean? Remember, they bought up a bunch of stuff that's not worth very much? Remember that they also, you know, just kind of flooded the market with dollars, mm-hmm. and they need to stop doing that. The dollar falling down creates risk for runaway inflation. Wait a minute.
So it's finally catching up.
I thought that wasn't ever going to happen. The Fed will never keep pace, which leads to a rapidly developing crisis. None of this has ever been seen before. None of it's, I shouldn't say that. This has been seen before. It's never been done before where humans or the banks or anybody else has been able to unwind a mess like this. It always ends in the destruction of the currency. Always. Every time. 5,000 years. Every time. But this time it's going to be different, they tell us. Well, everything has to work perfectly. What is the likelihood of that happening? Please, please prepare yourself. There is a report out now from President Reagan's budget director, David Stockman. He identifies five threats to the economy. You can understand those and read those by getting this report for free. 866-465-3546. That's 866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE. Also, Goldline is extending their price protection programs. Nobody does this. 401k, IRA, stock market, any investment, nothing will do this. For as little as $2,500, you'll get 3 months of price protection, meaning if the price of gold goes down, they make it up with more gold, all the way up to a year for a $25,000 investment. How much do you have in your IRA or 401k? See if Goldline will be able to help you with this right away. See if you can move some of that into gold. With the price protection, a year from now, you won't have lost anything. If the price goes down, no stock is going to do that. Make sure you read their important risk information. Find out if buying gold or silver is right for you. 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Oh, man, tomorrow is a great show. I will tell you tomorrow about the Florida family that was awakened by 15 pounds of sausage crashing through their roof.
How come some people get all the luck?
Right? Right? Sometimes, right? Sometimes Santa comes a little early.
Wow.
Here comes 15 pounds of sausage. We'll give you that story tomorrow. Tomorrow. Story. Also, I really want to start here. We're going to leave you with something from Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey is talking. He's got a lot of problems, and we'll get into this tomorrow. He's had a lot of problems over the last couple of years. But listen to what he was talking about this weekend.
I really want to speak to the fact that I've had some challenges in the last couple of years myself. Ultimately, I believe that suffering leads to salvation. Wow. And in fact, it's the only way.
He goes into a lot more spirituality.
Yeah, and not politically correct. That is on tomorrow's program. We begin there tomorrow. We'll see you at 5 with a think tank only on the Blaze TV.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.